We meet again. Bournemouth are the visitors to Kenilworth Road on Saturday afternoon, 3.5 weeks after, well, that high and low emotional roller coaster down at the Vitality Stadium. Jimbo, season resumes here, mate.
Starts here.
There we go. We'll preview Luton v Bournemouth after this intro. Hello everyone, welcome along to yet another Luton Town Supporters Trust podcast episode. As I said before the intro, I've got the Lutonian journalist James Cunliffe with me to preview Luton Town versus Bournemouth. James, we can't really start with anything other than this question. Is this must win for the Hatters?
I mean, I think it feels like a must win, but I think if you look at it rationally, I think it's more that it's a must not lose. We know that the points are needed. That's for sure. Particularly after the last two, after the last 10, really. And these are one of the teams that you could conceivably beat. But they're not one of the teams Luton are trying to catch. I think Bournemouth are gone. I thought that before we went down to the South Coast. They're out of arm's reach now. So it's not like when Everton comes to town, there's only one answer to that question. This one, I think Luton just have to get something. But really, you've got to go for the win. And I think they will.
Yep, I think they'll go for the win as well. How much of a role does 3.5 weeks ago play on this game?
Psychologically, maybe. I mean, different personnel. How many people have dropped since that game? I don't think it's had a massive psychological impact on the games that have come since, because they've not capitulated hugely. But it was a big blow, because they should have seen that out for a win. It'd be 3 points better off. Everything's looking a bit rosier. But at the same time, there's scores to settle, and that can always be a motivating factor. The fact that there's not enough games to really be messing about with, half measures now. You just got to go for it and see what happens. So yeah, there'll definitely be something on the game, because that no one liked that. It was one of the low points of the season, I think. Well, the second half was. The first half was one of the high points. But, from everyone, players to fans, I think there's a lot riding on it.
Yeah. I mean, there's 7 games left. You could say a 7-game season that we need to beat Nottingham Forest by 3 points. Albeit, you could say, well, get something from this one, forget City, and then we've got a 5-game mother of all seasons to come. After that, I guess going into this game, is your glass half full? In which case, you'll look at the first half at Bournemouth, where we blew them away. You know, there was no Bournemouth frailty or failure that night. We blew them away with counter-attacking, high-class, top-class counter-attacking football. Or is your glass half empty? In which case, we surrendered a 3-0 lead and, oh my God, we're not going to be 3-0 up here, and what can happen? Both arguments are there. For me, I've got to think the fact that we went 3-0 up in this game, that's the thing we've got to concentrate on, because we were brilliant in that first half. It wasn't that we were terrible in the second half. We just had no energy, no legs left. And I don't think we'll be in that situation on Saturday. I think we've got one or two more kind of players back with enough legs, even if it is just the likes of sort of Fred, who was nowhere to be seen from that time. Obviously Doughty's nowhere near as knackered as he was, albeit he's potentially injured. But, you know, it doesn't feel quite as... You're looking at these players and they don't look quite as out on their feet as they did in that second half at Bournemouth, or at least they didn't on Wednesday at Arsenal anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a three-game week, which is going to be testing any stage of the season when you've got a full-strength squad to pick from. But it's, I mean, the extra motivating factor is it's at home. But like you say, that you have to go for this. I think that makes the task of preparation a lot easier. I don't think Rob needs to say much about that. That where you might have some other games earlier in the season, it's very simple, isn't it? You just got to go out there and get a result. And sometimes I think maybe that takes the pressure off a little bit. I think if you're a player, it's going to be nerve wracking if you're a fan, but it's clear for a player, isn't it? That's it. Just go out and get a result. You've scored against everyone bar Arsenal for the last 20 games. You've scored three against this lot. You can do it. And so that's why I think the result against Arsenal, or the performance, sorry, against Arsenal was so key, in that it was a positive one, albeit that they lost 2-0. And so that sort of rolls into this weekend and says, well, if you can do that against, you know, a Premier League title chasing team that's in the quarterfinal of the Champions League, then what's there to fear, really?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I must admit, I'm comfortable with this game because Rob built the game plan that got us 3-0 up. Yeah, and he would have built the game plan that would have kept us ahead had he have had the personnel to have done it.
But don't forget as well, the first time round in the game that, you know, we wish didn't happen before Tom's cardiac arrest, then we were ahead and they were playing fantastic football as well then. I mean, yeah, they pegged them back just before that incident happened, but it shows you that there's nothing to fear from this Bournemouth side.
No, indeed. I think we'll all settle for similar to what happened the last time they were in town with Naismith in the... I mean, it won't be Naismith, obviously, but in the 95th minute, I mean, the scenes from that one, I mean, it's still one of my favourite games, that is. It was just absolutely brilliant, wasn't it?
I mean, if you can guarantee me that, I'll take it, but I really don't want to be sitting in the 95th minute waiting for something to happen.
Well, we were 2-0 up after about 25, weren't we? Or 30 minutes or whatever it was. Alan Campbell rifled in from 25 yards out in things that we never thought Alan Campbell could do at the time. Yeah. And I think it was Lloyd Kelly's own goal, wasn't it, that opened the scoring as well. And I noticed that he was back in their team on Tuesday. He also scored an own goal in the reverse fixture that day. So if you've got own goals up your sleeve, fella, you crack on, because we score enough of them for the opposition. So it'd be very nice if someone sticks one in the back of our net. Got good memories of Bournemouth. Obviously, we've got 45 minutes of terrible memories, and we've got, you know, the memories that we don't want of the Tom game. But on the flip side of that, an awful lot of Bournemouth players have played at Kenilworth Road. So that kind of intimidating atmosphere and not knowing what that kind of unique factor, that's not going to work with Bournemouth. So everyone's going to have to be on it on and off the pitch on Saturday.
And that is the key thing for me, because, you know, Rob has called for it, for the fans to be on it. And we've spoken about this in previous podcasts when it hasn't felt like that. We wanted it to be like Watford and Sunderland. He's called for it to be like that. The club have put on 2-for-1 drinks, hoping to generate that sort of atmosphere, and it hasn't happened. And I can understand why. Those two games you're playing against your arch rivals for the first time in front of fans, 16 years, a semi-final of the playoff, second leg where you're already behind, and a season where everything's gone wonderfully well, and a new manager that everybody's fallen in love with, that sort of thing. And it hasn't been like that. It's been a slog. It's been tough. There's been games to be proud of, most games to be proud of, but the results haven't, and the ruthlessness of it, it does sort of death by a thousand cuts kill you. But somehow that ferocity has got to be found. And I hope it can be, but I don't know if it will. And that's what's kind of worrying me.
Oh, believe me, if Luton take the lead in this game, you have no worries whatsoever. The crowd will absolutely... If the first half plays out the same way as it did down there, I'm not saying 3-0 or anything like that, but if the first half plays out where Luton dominate the game and we get ahead, even if it's only 1-0, you've got absolutely no worries about the crowd. That's when you will start hearing the atmosphere of the Watford game and the Sunderland game. Not to the same fever pitch levels, because like you just mentioned, they're unique games in their own right. But you'll hear a genuine Premier League Kenilworth Road atmosphere if Luton get ahead in the game and they've got something to hold on to. And the boys, they will get all the support that they need.
But what if it doesn't? That's the thing.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? But that's down to... We'll play our part, but the boys have got to play their part. And if the boys play their part, then that's what I said at the minute. It's everyone together. So they're going to have to do their bit. We'll do our bit. And then hopefully we go from there. I mean, even if we go behind, if we then level it straight away, it'll almost be the same effect. But the boys need to get at them, which they will do. They'll go right out for this game. That much is obvious. We'll play some of Rob's sort of, not his pre-match press conference, because that's taking place on Friday and we won't have time to get this out in time, but he gave a few sort of quotes, didn't he, after the game on Wednesday. So we'll play some of those in a little while once we've sort of divulged this game. But you can guarantee that they're going to go all for this. They know the magnitude of this game. They're not stupid. If they get in front, you'll get that atmosphere. What we don't want is to concede an early goal. That's when it could go a bit tits up. But that's, as I say, that's the challenge to the players. Go and get in front. Go and create a reason why the atmosphere has to be absolutely special. And that's what they'll get.
Yeah, I can see that scenario. But what I'm saying is, shouldn't it be like that from the off, regardless of what happens, regardless?
And it might well be.
If they score first, same thing, right from the kickoff, intimidating. I can understand why it hasn't been this season, even though it's been called for. So it's more like I'm saying to the watchers and listeners out there in the world, you know, will it be? What will it take for that to happen again? Because I sit in the press benches, I make a bit of noise, but I'm on my own really. You guys are in it and you're the noise. So will it, first of all? And if not, what will it take?
Your answer is in the YouTube comments and we'll find out. No, I'm comfortable that the atmosphere will be good on Saturday. We're not in those jeopardy situations of a playoff semi-final where we're behind yet, but nobody's stupid. We know that we're getting into that situation where the jeopardy is increasing game by game. So we will, you know, people from the crowd... That'll be absolutely fine. But we have got an opposition. So let's look at Bournemouth. Normally you would start with Dominic Solanke here, but he hasn't been a factor in either of the... I know he scored in both of the games that we've played them, but that's all he's done. So really the first one that we should focus on, as in the real danger man, is Antoine Semenyo, because it was him who tore us a new one in that second half and we just couldn't cope. I don't know if he's as good as we made him look or we literally had no legs to go up against him with. But either way, we're going to need to find someone with some pace and some legs to stop him, because they didn't go down that side at all in that first half at their place. But having absolutely rinsed us in the second half down that side, you'd have to be an absolute clueless buffoon not to start off going down that side in this game. So we need to match up with him very, very quickly in this game.
Yeah, we do. We've got Fred, who's got some pace, maybe he comes into play. We talked about him in the last podcast and how he could make himself an unlikely hero. I think you just got to get tighter to the guy, because he was given far too much space down there. You'd like to think that Luton learned their lessons from these things, and, you know, in the way that they've improved all across the season, I think they'll look at that and how that was just far too open and unnecessarily so after, you know, for being 3-0 up. Obviously, the first goal that they got straight after half time incited the crowd and their belief. And you've got those moments have to be shut down, because, I mean, they've happened in the last two games as well. You know, whether it's late goal winner for Spurs or, you know, straight before half time at Arsenal, when you go in at 1-0 and there's probably a little bit of a sniff that you can nick something, not a 2-0. So those sorts of things have got to be cut out as well. And so, yeah, an early goal, like you were saying earlier, would work wonders for that. But if it isn't, and if it's cagey, then it's going to need something extra. And I always bring it back to if there's one time that Kenilworth Road has to live up to its ferocity, then maybe that's it.
Yeah, it is. Let's just keep Semenyo quiet. I can't be doing with him chasing down that side and cutting inside and unleashing firecracker after firecracker at our goal. We don't need none of that nonsense. We managed to tame him pretty well when he was a Bristol City player, so let's do it when he's a Bournemouth one. Solanke, for me, should be going to the Euros. For me, he should have been in the England squad a couple of weeks ago. I think he's brilliant. As I say, we've contained him, and I'm comfortable that we could contain him here, because I just think Ted Mengi is the bollocks, to be quite honest. And that we go man for man, don't we? That's your man, Ted Mengi on Dominic Solanke. So I'm comfortable that we can keep him as shackled as you can keep someone of that quality shackled. But he's not the joint, whatever he is, second, third goal scorer in the league for no reason. So we cannot switch off whether he's around. And even when we do have him shackled, as we saw at their place, he's got world-class skill at his disposal to get past a defender. And then, when he's one-on-one with your goalkeeper, he ain't doing a Divock Origi, is he? He's going in the back of the net this time.
Yeah, I mean, if Ted Mengi's on him for that goal at their place, then he doesn't get through. That's not what Hashioka has been signed for, and he got done a little bit there. You know, it's still well executed bit of skill, and you've got to give him credit, but it's definitely an ifs and buts situation, I think, that one. But that, they got the goal, and you can't really argue with that. And he's been, for a player that's playing for Bournemouth, and that's no disrespect, he's ripping up trees, isn't he? And he'd probably get a big move next in the summer, perhaps, if he keeps doing it. Well, he should do, because he's been fantastic in front of goal. And, that the England question, just as we've been debating many times from our side of things, it certainly improves his lot if he goes to a bigger club, because I don't think Gareth Southgate knows where Luton or Bournemouth is, to be honest.
No, but he will do when he's Manchester United manager.
Oh, yeah.
So a third threat. We went with Kluivert down there, didn't we? And when we did the preview, and he didn't play. They had Sinisterra down that side, who, we had Chio in front of Kabore that night, didn't we? But, he wasn't in the game at all. They took him off at halftime. Maybe if we'd let him be in the game, might have been no so different in terms of they wouldn't have brought someone else on to sort of balance it out and leave us kind of exposed. So not really sure where we go with a third threat here. But the one thing I would say, not necessarily as a threat, but in that game, Alex Scott started, who we really like, mm-hmm. player from Bristol City. But he was so ineffective, they took him off at halftime. And I noticed on Tuesday that he started against Crystal Palace when they won 1-0. But it was 0-0 at halftime, and they took him off again. So maybe he's not in the greatest form. So maybe we won't see him, but hopefully we do, because it just seems to be something that they improve when he's not on the pitch. So if he is there, that could be something that helps for us.
Yeah, let him play for 90 minutes then. He's a really good player. I liked him at Bristol, and from the bits and pieces I've seen of him playing for Bournemouth, he's very promising. But I don't think that a player, or no, I don't think any midfield player other than Kevin De Bruyne has come to Kenilworth Road and bossed the place, and that's something that we can feel positive about, whoever's playing. But I think the big game nature of it plays to Ross Barkley's strengths, I think, and hopefully he's the one that proves he's the man in the midfield.
Yep. One thing that we can kind of use for confidence, their away form's not brilliant in recent times. The only away win they've got in the Premier League this calendar year was at Burnley, and they were a strong second best in that game. I watched that game, and if Burnley could finish their dinner, they'd have put them out of sight, but they couldn't. Since then, they've played four home games, of which we were the second one of those. And, you know, three wins and a mystifying draw against Sheffield United. I don't know where that came from. So, but that, as I say, that was at home. But, I mean, they've been to sort of West Ham. They've drawn with West Ham. Again, that's not necessarily a bad result. They've lost at Fulham. They've drawn at Newcastle, injury ravaged Newcastle. And everything. They're not anywhere near, or certainly from a results point of view, anywhere near as fearless on the travels as they are at Vitality Stadium. And when you think we were 3-0 up down there, it's just another reason to kind of start believing that we can do this on Saturday as a fan base. I mean, the players are in no doubt they can still believe it. But if you're just in that 50-50 mode, then maybe that's something that might tip you 51-49 in our favour.
Yeah, all these things got to play a factor. But you've got to make it count as well. So if they're feeling in any way uneasy, then it's got to be... I want to see them go at Bournemouth straight away and get that early goal you're talking about, get the atmosphere.
Well, that's what we did down there.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you can do that, then you set yourself up for a really good evening. My worry is if they just come, and I don't necessarily think they will play like this, actually, because I think the manager's got them playing in sort of a positive way, and I don't see them as a part of the bus team. They want to play football, which can be a benefit. But if they're not sort of right at it and not wanting to play any sort of swashbuckling football, and it doesn't open it up for Luton, then, you know, maybe it stifles it a little bit. So I don't think that can be the worst thing, really, for atmosphere.
I'm not sure they're good enough defensively to do that. I've not seen any. I mean, like you said, for an hour and then 45 minutes, we've dominated this side. I don't see them defensively strong, and they don't have that natural defensive midfielder in front of them either, do they? They're using Christie as one of their pivots, and he's more of a go forward and create kind of thing. And Cook, I mean, he's just there basically. He's similar to Nakamba in that his primary role is to break up play. And if he can then create off of the back of that, then happy days. But you're there to break up all the play. And that's where we were so good down there, that Barkley was able to dominate him. And, you know, we saw the outcome with that third goal. Let's turn it back to Luton then. Rob said in the post-match that he thinks he'll have one player back for this game. Don't think I'm giving away any secrets that player will be Reece Burke, if indeed he is back. He did say in the pre-match to that everyone else is out, not just Wednesday, but Saturday. So, you know, putting two and two together, it's looking like Reece Burke. So that in itself will be handy, because not only is he a better defender in the central defensive role than whichever one he comes in for in that position, Kabore or Hashioka, but he's also able to get us forward. He'll take someone back with him when he goes forward, which leaves the pressure on our defence as well. And generally, when he goes forward, the crowd get kind of excited as well. He creates excitement. And of course, he's a tall player, Reece Burke, and we're going to come onto it in a minute with set pieces and everything, because we've seen in both games against them that's the way in, or crosses at least. He'll just sort of make everything more calm and everything at the back when he, and if we do get him back on Saturday, that's massive.
Well, yeah, because he's a recognised central defender for one, but he's a very good central defender. And also, one of my favourite things about him is what you just said there, that he likes to go forward and play through the lines, and he's very positive. A couple of times in the Championship when he was played on the right, and he was a winger as well, sort of a wing back by the nature of the way the game's played out, but he could do that as well. And so, yeah, it will offer a bit more calmness on the ball, which it may be needed if things get harem scarem. So I really hope he's back, because it just feels like you're fighting with one hand time behind your back if you haven't got at least the right positional players in the right places. I mean, Rob talks about square pegs, round holes, and that sort of thing, and it's a cliche, isn't it? But it's true. And you want as good a side as can possibly be fielded here to have the best chance.
If he's 75% fit, and there's a threat that he gets injured in the game and would then miss Man City, but maybe would still be okay for Brentford after it. Do we play him here, or do we say, no, we need you at 100% for those last five games?
I don't think anyone's 100% really, even if it wasn't for an injury crisis. When you get to this stage of the season, your body would be feeling it. I think we're simply in a position where these are calculated gambles that are going to have to be taken, whether you can, you know, risk a 75% fit player and whether that's going to be of use. Particularly for Reece Burke. I mean, if he can come back quick, that's a great bonus, because oftentimes he's injured and he doesn't come back for months. So hopefully it's that. But even further down the line, when after the City game, probably, when you get into that five-game block, it's just do or die, really, isn't it? And so if you can get players back and they're not quite 100%, but they'll do a job.
Whatever minutes you can get, you take.
Absolutely. Yeah. Then that's got to be considered. Yeah, it just has to be. There's just too much at stake.
One player that I think we can be relatively confident on will most likely start. I mean, we shouldn't have too many training sessions for them to go down in between us recording this and the actual game, is Tahith Chong. He did 35 minutes and he looked very, very comfortable in those 35 minutes at the Emirates on Wednesday. Maybe only on the bench that night with this game in mind, in which case you would imagine he'll come straight back into the side from the start.
I really hope so, because he's one of the players that make you feel like there is something in it for Luton. It's not, they're bare bones and stuff, but when you've got a player of his quality in an attacking sense, then I think it gets people excited. And he's been proving for a couple of months now that he is a man that could be trusted to start, a man that could be trusted to score, set goals up, but do his fair share of the tracking back as well. So I think it's, you know, the half an hour or so he got at the Emirates Stadium was very promising. And hopefully he doesn't feel any ill effects on that. I have to say, cotton wool, you're missing a trick here if you ain't sponsoring some of these Luton players, because, you know, get down that training ground and wrap them in the stuff.
Don't think there's enough of the stuff to go round, is there, ever? That's the problem with it. In for Pelly, Chong?
Yeah, I think so.
Clark dropping back alongside Barkley.
Yeah, just based on the Arsenal game, really, I thought Clark was very good, very dependable and solid, but offered something going forward as well.
And also it was Clark in that first half down there, wasn't it? Clark and Barkley.
Absolutely, yeah. I think, in an attacking sense, then Clark's got more vision than Pelly. And I think he just has to play. And
yeah. He just carries the ball forward better as well, doesn't he? Pelly's power, he runs, he'll do all of that nasty, you know, that ugly sort of stuff. But in this game, we're going to need to join the dots, aren't we? And Clark's a better dot joiner than Pelly. That's just the way. I mean, he's a natural winger, isn't he? Whereas Pelly's not a natural centre-back, because he's never a centre-back anyway. But, you know, he's naturally of a defensive-minded thing, as opposed to Clark, who's forward-thinking.
Yeah, and I agree with some reluctance, because I don't want to be seen to be like doing down Pelly.
Of course, no, I absolutely agree.
I don't think you are, and I'm certainly not, but, you know, this is going on the internet, and sometimes people have to have these things spelled out for you that it's not that, it's just that...
Well, let's spell it out properly then. Clark's better at attacking than Pelly, Pelly's better at defending than Clark.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah.
And we need the attacking game at home as opposed to the defensive game away.
And maybe if you need to defend something in the last 10-15, then Pelly gets a chance then. So it's horses for courses, isn't it, really? And that's all I'm saying there.
Yeah, agree with that completely. The interesting one, well, I say the interesting one, I think Townsend will play this time. I did think he'll play down there, but he didn't. We played Chio down that right-hand side, didn't we? Or the right-hand one of the two behind Morris. I think it will be Townsend this time. Obviously, one, because there's no Chio anyway. But he does have the option, if he wanted to, of going sort of Hashioka, assuming Burke's fit, Hashioka, Mengi, Burke, with Kabore right wing back, and then Fred as one of those two in behind, to just to play the exact sort of same kind of personnel that we played down there, in terms of a pacey kind of Fred, as opposed to a Townsend who's more a technical. So Fred wouldn't be closer to Chio's sort of abilities as or attributes, than Townsend. But I get the feeling Townsend will play in this one, and I think we'll stick with Fred at right wing back, and we'll have Kabore at left centre back, which I'm okay with, because if Semenu does play down that side, at least Issa's got the pace to go with him. So I'm kind of fine if Townsend plays in this one, and I hope he does, because he's not really done a great deal wrong. Defensively, he's been very good in these two games in London. He tracked Zinchenko like he was a limpet to him the other night. And I mean, Udogi, the second he stepped out of line, Townsend was straight in behind him. And if they've got their left back, who's the attacking left back, and he's the overseas fellow, and I can never remember his name, I think Kirkes, is it? If it's him, and he likes to get forward, well, Townsend will have that space all day long.
Yeah, and in that first game that didn't get completed, I think we picked out Kirkes because he was having a good spell at that time in an attacking sense. He was one of the ones we picked out as a threat, if I remember rightly. And there's a lot of intelligence there in Townsend that he can utilise. And I think in these pressure situations, then I think he's an nailed-on star for me.
Yeah, the other thing I like about Townsend, he's been here, he's done it. He's lived his life in relegation battles, apart from when he was at Tottenham. He's lived his life in relegation battles at Palace, at Everton, at Newcastle, and now here. So this is second nature to him. If there are any nerves around, he's less likely to feel them because he's been in the situation before. He's got that comfort, and also he can control everything. And the other reason why I want Townsend on is because crosses are a massive thing against this lot. We saw it at the game down there. The first goal came from a cross. They had absolutely no idea where Chong was for that cross, and it wasn't even a long cross either, but they still were nowhere near him. And as soon as Alfie got in down that left-hand side, no one was anywhere near tracking Chio, just rolled it across. And they're simple crosses, but I really think if you go back to the first game that now doesn't exist, we scored from a set piece after 2 minutes. Again, the goalkeeper comes flapping at something and Elijah's got a simple header. The keeper looks like he's a bit of a sort of not very comfortable with crosses kind of guy. And Townsend's crossing with both feet is very, very good. So that's where I'm thinking. I really think we get at these. I mean, we get at these anyway by going at them and getting Barkley in behind Cook and Christie. But we get at them with crosses as well.
Yeah, it's the tried and tested, isn't it? And we haven't seen too many of late, so it would be good to have that. I think to see something like that, I think it gets people excited, and he's got that. Townsend can do that, and he's done it with results plenty of times this season. And if you look at the Man City one where he picks up that peach of a cross for Elijah to give everyone hope, and what I want to see, which I think we mentioned all the time, and I hope we're not jinxing it.
That's when it's coming. Everton, former club.
I want to see a 30-yard absolute stinger.
Saving it for Everton.
Yeah, okay, I'm happy with that. As long as he can whip one into someone's head for this Bournemouth game.
His shipping is coming in that game, and then Pelle will round the season off with one against Fulham. That's the script that I've written. Hopefully they've written it as well. Yeah, really like the prospect of Townsend. And of course, he doesn't actually have to cross the ball to be effective. He didn't cross it for Barkley, for Chong at Tottenham. He's just so clever that people back off because they think he's going to cross it. And then as soon as the space is open to someone in the penalty box, he'll just lay it into them. It's a clever, clever player, Townsend. He really is. Actually, I don't think any of us have done him justice with how clever he is. We talk about him, but we're probably guilty of underplaying it a little bit, even as much as we've talked about Andros Townsend. He's that clever.
Yeah, I agree. If you know, we've been spoilt with watching the likes of Ross Barkley, and stuff.
That's why we want to stay up so much,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Exactly. I mean, I don't want this to be the last season to see Ross Barkley. I mean, I think that Andros would stay if
I do
down.
Too.
So, because I think he recognises that this might be his last, I wouldn't say big in inverted commas, contract, but his last chance to maybe either stay in the Premier League, or if they go down, come straight back up. He's on a decent contract. And obviously he had that scenario last summer where Burnley made him cry, and I think he recognises and appreciates what the opportunity that they didn't have given him. Ross Barkley as well, I think he's probably in the same boat, appreciating that and recognising that he's Luton have given him a platform. But there's no way for me that if Luton go down, the vultures don't circle for.
Yeah, I think the difference between the two is Ross Barkley could play for a top 10 Premier League club. I think Townsend's too long in his career now, and too many people will look at his injury record, and top 10 club would take him. So if he stayed in the Premier League, he's looking in your sort of Crystal Palace, Brentford area, you know, regions of the table, as opposed to Barkley, who could quite easily play for a Wolves or a Newcastle sort of area of the table. So why wouldn't Townsend try and get promoted and at least have the promotion on his CV, whereas Barkley could walk into any of these top sides? And, you know, I mean, still these rumours going around that Jim Ratcliffe's looking at him again at Man United, which isn't the case with Andros Townsend. Yeah, so, really looking forward to this game on Saturdays. You know, yes, it's one that I agree with you right from the start. It's a game that we need a result from, just to keep us on tabs with Forest. I mean, obviously it's Everton against Burnley on Saturday as well, so someone's going to benefit, someone's going to lose there. And if we win this game, crack on Burnley, keep Everton right in the mix. That's where the results come from. We're probably not going to get anything next week, but there's no guarantee that Forest get anything at Tottenham on Sunday night either. So that's good. So that's the thoughts of us anyway. I hinted earlier on in the podcast that Rob gave some quotes in the post-match from the Arsenal game, and here they are.
Bournemouth's not going to be easy, and I think everyone needs to know that as well. The last 20 games, I think they're fifth in the form table, so they're flying really, really high. So this is not an easy game, so we're going to need our supporters right at it. We're going to have to be right at it as well, so we've got to recover well now, get a good plan together, which I think we've been working really hard on over the last few weeks, and you can see a really organised team that's limiting big clubs to not as many chances that we have given away in the past. Team that's fighting for each other. We've got, what is it, 7 games left now. So it's game on. It is. We know it's time now to be delivering points, and we're going to be going for it. And it doesn't matter who plays. The lads are all committed to what we're doing and trying their absolute best to score goals, to be entertaining, to try and win games. There's a chance we might get one back, maybe. It's about recovery again. It's about we'll do a lot of work now as a coaching staff to try and get a good plan together and give the lads the right information for Bournemouth. We played them not that long ago, so we'll have, you know, a lot of information on them. And going with total belief to attack the game and try and win. And that's what we'll try and do. We can't ever guarantee that. I wish I could say to our supporters, we're going to win. We're going to give everything to do that. But we can't, unfortunately, guarantee it. But everything that we do now, like I've said to the lads in there, and they're feeling that everything we do now is on Saturday, and it's winning a game of football. Recover well, eat well, sleep well. But everything you do has got to be based on now, the next couple of days, to win a game of football. That's what we've got to do. And I'll put it on our supporters a little bit, like, we're going to need you. And we, I know, have got to try and turn up as well and give our brilliant fans something to sing about and get behind as well. I think we all know this is not just a turn up and win game. No game is in this league. So it's going to be hard, but we're going to fight. We'll keep going to the very end like we always do and like we've shown again tonight. And everything we'll do will be trying to win. We'll be trying to win the game. We know how important it is.
So there we are. The boss has put it on us fans to turn up and make the noise. And as he said, he'll get the players to do their side of thing. He also mentioned sleep well. How the bloody hell do you do that? How can you sleep well at the minute? I mean, it's just play, go home, play, go home, play, isn't it?
Eat, sleep, podcast, repeat at the moment for us too, isn't it?
That is exactly it. Yeah, we really need to set some beds up in this gaff. It'd be a whole lot easier for us, that's for sure. One point that Rob did make in that, we've covered the previous Bournemouth game a lot on this podcast, but what we've not mentioned was that brilliant second half performance at Arsenal. Mm. And if we can have that 45 minutes of control with the ball in this game, and we were in control with the ball, that is going to give us the platform to go and do everything that we want to do on Saturday. So let's hope that second half on Wednesday is in the minds of the players when they go out there on Saturday, and then we'll have taken something from what was always only going to be a defeat.
Absolutely, because Arsenal are one of the best pressing teams in the division, and they played through the lines very well. And it wasn't one of those where you were watching it feeling a bit nervous about it when they had the ball at their feet. They really manoeuvred that. They manoeuvred the midfield well. It's just when they got to the defence, they would come up against the best central defence pairing in the division. So, and that's, you know, that's no shame when Manchester City couldn't get through them a couple of days earlier. But there's plenty in that second half that made me think that, you know, they're going to be still depleted. But it almost feels like it doesn't matter now. There's a siege mentality. It's got to be that, but not in the sense of just hanging in there. There's quality in those players that can go and win a football match.
Yeah, there's a sort of decisiveness about it, isn't it? Look, lads, here's who we've got. You boys have got to go and get the job done for the whole of us now. And that, you know, like you said earlier in the podcast, sometimes it's better to know the score than, you know, have two sort of sides to fall back on, kind of thing. We know the score. It's the boys that we've got. Go and get the job done. And you played really well in that second half against Arsenal on Wednesday. Unless the rules of football have changed, William Saliba and Gabriel aren't going to be on the pitch on Saturday. And thank God for that. And the defence that we're going up against is absolutely nowhere near as good as that Arsenal one. I mean, it's literally night and day in terms of quality and sort of record. So, you know, it's time for everyone to give it one more go again and just play like you did in that second half or the first half against Tottenham, if you want more sort of reasons to believe. Play like you did in those games. You've got an opponent here nowhere near as good as those two, albeit I respect them completely, but you've shown that you can do the levels. Go and produce that level and go and get us the points that we need.
Yeah, when you hear him talk like that, I've no doubt that he talks like that to the players. Well, you can see that they buy into what he says. And, you know, Tom Locke has spoken on one of his media rounds in the last week that he just makes you want to run through brick walls for him. And that's you know, the main thing you can ask of any footballer to do that. And then the quality comes on top. And Luton have got players that can do that as well. So I think he instills some a lot of belief, and you know, I'm with him where he says he put it on the fans as well to do it. His words carry far more weight than mine, and I'm saying to Luton fans that, you know, give it a little bit extra. I think it's one of those situations. I don't think it's do or die yet, but 3 points is so massive at this stage. You see, in the last couple of games, you know, Everton nicking a point late on and Forest getting four from two games, which is sickening to me, but it happened. And these little things, like for a momentary couple of games, they pull away and it feels like that's too much, but a big result can draw them back in again. And that's exactly what's going to happen.
That's the battle that we're in. Yeah, that's what we've got to do. We had one or two issues with the audio, actually, but in Rob's actual post-match press conference at Arsenal, someone asked him, you know, do you believe that you can still stay up? And I'll quote him on this because I remembered the quote. He actually said, with every fiber, he said, I believed it from the second we won the playoff final, and I believe it with every fiber in my body that we've got a group here that can stay in the Premier League. And that's why they run through brick walls for him, because he'll be telling them that message in the dressing room. And if he's telling the players that, you can guarantee that he believes it. And we all should on top of it.
Yeah, and also they're players that have, a lot of them have come from the lower leagues. They know what this opportunity means. It may never come again. I don't believe that. I think it would, but you can't. You've got to play the cards you've got in front of you rather than something down the line. And, you know, they've got to try and play their absolute hearts out for the rest of this. I've got no doubt they'll do that. That the effort has never, ever been in question. It's just that hopefully no more injuries. And then the players that they've got can affect the game positively and get the results we need, because it's now, it's starting to be now or never. don't think it is on this game. People will and have been saying it's must win. I understand that. I probably would have said it a while ago. I mean, we were saying it at the start of the season that some of these were must wins against the teams that you know are going to be in and around you, but Bournemouth aren't that team anymore.
No, they're not, but are we going to win? It's score prediction time. Luton v Bournemouth, how does it end?
I think it's going to be nervy, and I've got a feeling they're going to score first, which is why I'm saying that the crowd's got to be on it, because that could really take the sting out of it. But I do think that Luton are going to win 2-1.
2-1 for James. I mean, listen, it's April. Luton win big games. I mean, if you're watching this on the Friday, 15 years ago today, we won a big game 3-2. And obviously, 1988, we've done it as well. This one, last time Bournemouth were in town, it was 3-2 as well. It's going to be one of those crazy chaos games, 3-2. I mean, the thing about this lot, and we've not really referenced this, they're safe. Mm-hmm. You know, the beach, just in that direction. Go and have an afternoon on it, lads, and leave us to get the 3 points. We've got an affinity with them now, haven't they? It's only fair that we balance the books and get 3 points off them.
Yeah, absolutely. There is an affinity. There's an affinity with the fans, and I have to make the distinction. I don't think I can get through this podcast without saying it. The fans, excellent. What they did for Tom Lockyer and Luton at the time, ever since the last game, wonderful. The fans have got no say in this, but the club have really disgraced themselves a bit by being one of those 10 that voted down the £900 million package for the Football League, considering where that club has been for. So I hope those fans have let their feelings known to the powers that be there, because it's the people that run it who've made that decision, not the fans. But I was really disappointed by that. So that I don't think that will come into a factor of for the players, but I think from a fan perspective, I think that is another thing to add onto the fire.
Just finally, while we're on the subject of fans and things, I noticed that Philip Billing started for them on Tuesday night. He doesn't always start, but if he does come off the bench, forget rivalries here. This guy deserves a standing ovation every single time he plays against Luton for what he did for Tom. Cannot possibly underestimate the role that he played. So if he comes off the bench, or if they take him off or anything, forget rivalries for 30 seconds and applaud the guy, because he went well above and beyond the football pitch back in December.
Yeah, if he's in the squad, his name will be read out before the game as well. So hopefully he gets a decent reception then. I know he will, because, yeah, that was an important part of saving Tom, and that it won't be forgotten.
Yep, hopefully he's on the losing team though, whether he plays, starts or sits on the bench. And, well, we'll review it all next week, as usual. That is it for this episode of the podcast. Thanks for giving me your thoughts, James, and keeping me company for the last 45 minutes or so. Thanks to you for watching and listening. Very, very short space of time to get your score predictions in for this one. But if you have got time to do it, drop them on the comments. And if you're correct, we will give you a shout out after the Game in the Review podcast. And actually, if there was anyone who got it right in the Arsenal one, we have literally not had time to think about absolutely anything. So if there were any Arsenal correct scores, I'll read them out in the review for the Bournemouth game when we've had a little bit of time to breathe and pause for breath and things. Do keep subscribing to wherever it is that you get this podcast. As I say, they're dropping far and fast this week, and probably will be for a few days to come, because we do still have a Thomas Kaminski interview up our sleeves to bring out as well. So you'll get an instant notification when all of those podcasts drop. You may have seen that the date for the presentation evening is now out there, Tuesday the 7th of May at Venue 360. Ticket details and voting details and everything else that you need to know will be out early next week, if not sooner. So keep your eye on our socials and our website for all of the details for that. If you're a Trust member, you will have an exclusive period to get your tickets at a discounted price. If you're not a Trust member, if you want to get that period and that discounted price, you've still got time to become a Trust member. Hit our website for all the details of how you can join the Trust. as I say, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Thanks, of course, to the Hightown Club for staging our studio, as always. To Sean Grant and the Wolfgang for our intro music, and to Ed Smith Creative for all of the designs that you see on set. We've got a whole week to recover from this Bournemouth game, so nobody leave Kenilworth Road with any semblance of a voice. You need to give absolutely everything, and who knows, between all of us on and off the pitch, the boys could get their magical 3 points that gives us a right shot in the arm in this survival battle. So until next time, from James and myself, come on, you Hatters.
You know what I love about this town is actually you. Everyone in it has got these massive souls.
We're Luton people.